Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
All right, here's some tips you're going to pick up from today's Florida stories. Don't leave anything out by the trash you don't want thrown away. Don't leave an identification at the scene of a crime. And if your girlfriend gets pregnant and you don't want to be a father, you don't have to kill her. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Stories from our old house with our eight kids, Dan and Becky Gaffney here.
You want to know how we make it easy to do birthdays with eight kids?
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. No, all Asians don't look alike. Racial profiling. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the embarrassing story of how I once mistook a breast pump for an antique telephone. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Dating a coworker, really problematic, especially at a strip club. Strippers on the loose, later, Sterling at night.
It's time to remind you that in the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock. The Louisiana Hayride! Hayride!
It's the...
Did you see the Elvis movie? One of the big scenes was when Elvis Presley appeared at the Louisiana Hayride. This is how it actually sounded when it opened. And it has created a mystery for me for many years.
In the Arklatex in the Central Times.
Here it is.
Some that didn't.
This is the Abrams boy's father. Here we go.
It's time to remind you that in the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock. In the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock. You? That in the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock.
The Arklatex. The Arklatex. I grew up in North Jersey. I knew about the Hudson River, the South Orange Mountains, Powell's Cabin, 5 points for hot dogs, not pinks, and the Jersey Turnpike and the evil Garden State Parkway. But the Arklatex. Oh, and we knew about the Pine Barrens. You know about the Pine Barrens? There's a large area of Jersey, central Jersey, where for some reason pine trees don't grow. They're all stunted, half the size. The ground looks charred. It looks like UFOs landed everywhere. And, excuse me, but the big thing is that nothing can grow there. This has been true for probably thousands of years, and no one's really sure why. It's haunted, it's spooky, and it's where many scenes of The Sopranos took place, where they buried people. And now I'm listening to these recordings of your Louisiana Hayride, and I hear the announcer say this.
It's the story of the Louisiana Hayride.
It's time to remind you that in the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock.
The Arklatex. Do you know where the Arklatex are? When I first heard it, I thought, well, that's clever. Maybe it's a regional airport, or worse, a regional high school. And is there anything scarier than a regional high school? I think not. How do they have reunions at a regional high school with 5,000 kids? They can't possibly do that. How do they solve the parking problems? And it also means that any kid can get away with anything because a population that size, it's easy to hide. The Arklatex. It is where Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas meet. Where the borders of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas meet. And when I first heard that, and when I first saw that on a map, I went, there is Satan's address. That is the Hellgate. Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas Can you imagine that on a late August night, like August 15th? No, more romantic. August 12th. Imagine that on August 12th, and you're there at about 1:20, and there's no one around. You pull your car over to the side of the road. You pull your 18-wheeler over to the side of the road, and now you're at the epicenter of the Arklatex. Nothing good has ever happened at the Arklatex. If anybody says to you ever, come on, let's go meet at the Arklatex at 1 in the morning, don't go. No matter what, don't go to the Arklatex at 1 in the morning. It must be the most spiritually bankrupt place in North America. The Arklatex. Just think about the name. And then Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas, it's where they form a spiritual bond. If you have a Jersey license, an Illinois license, or worse, a California license, and you drive through there, and the lights go on behind you, those blue lights are going, nothing good is about to happen after that stop. Oh, I see here, Yankee, that you're from, what is this? Millburn, New Jersey. What the heck's going on there? I've never been up there. You're dead. You're in so much trouble. All right, this is a network radio show. My name is Walter M. Sterling, and the thing that has annoyed me the most this weekend is water in the basement and the realization that my favorite TV shows were canceled years ago, and I didn't even know they were on at the time. Then I started to dig into my resentments about television shows being canceled. And I worked on that for, you know, a couple days. That's how I pretty much spend my day. We're going to have a big show tonight as soon as I figure out what we're going to do. This is Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat.
All right, it's 18 past the hour with Rob Carson. Rob Carson is a featured star on Newsmax, radio and television, a star. I've watched too many of your videos now, Rob, and you're hysterical. You are brilliant, and I hope you're way at the top of the food chain of how they pay people at Newsmax. Rob, well, I have two very important things to talk to you about, and then you can do your well. Two very important things for you to talk about. One is, in a stunning move, Newsmax was thrown off of a number of cable suppliers and satellite television companies. And I want to chat with you first about what happened, and then you and I will talk about why. And then, far more important, you do a YouTube video series on cooking.
Yes.
And I want to, and because I'm obsessed with popular response, I want to know, What recipes, what videos have gotten you the most response? But first, Rob Carson of Newsmax, tell us about how Newsmax got thrown off of some systems and some satellite companies.
Well, I'm not, officially speaking as a representative of Newsmax, and I don't know all of the technical details with regard to the legal agreements, et cetera, within the company. What I do know is that Nancy Pelosi was working with a couple of Democrats and had contacted DirecTV and said, and there was a good deal of this talk of disinformation and misinformation, and they were targeting, and I don't want to go all political, but there was politics behind it. And so they said concerns they wanted to get off of DirecTV. One of them was OAN, one of them was Newsmax, and one of them was Fox News. They got OAN last year. They got Newsmax, pardon me, this year. And I wouldn't necessarily say that, you know, I don't know I'm not speculating on what will happen to Fox, but clearly if those two are down, you would assume the third domino, they would be interested in perhaps making it fall. So it was very, very disappointing to us, because we have millions and millions of viewers on DirecTV, and a lot of our viewers, you know, watch in rural areas, and frequently DirecTV satellite television is the best bet. And so they, you know, have lost access to it. There are other ways to watch it, but clearly that was one of the most effective ways. And so it was very disappointing. I don't know where we are as far as any sort of negotiations with DirecTV. I do know that DirecTV took a very big hit, lost a lot of subscribers, and the company lost a good deal of stock value. Whether or not that was enough to impact, you know, their decision to possibly let us back on because, you know, we have a passionate following, I'm really not sure. But it is disappointing. All we ask really is just to compete in the arena of ideas, and if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. There are at least, I think, 20 other networks on DirecTV that lean left, including Vice, and they were allowed to stay on. And so that's why, and we were winning. We were way, you know, very highly rated, by the way. And so that's why it was, it's just very disappointing when political decisions are made for people who want to consume a product.
What's interesting to me is that all of these newcomers to media, like satellite television, in fact, cable companies, and all of the streaming services, the Facebooks, the Twitters, they all somehow or another are wrapped in this incredible arrogance that whatever is said on their service is a reflection of them. Yeah. And this is something that the founders of NBC, ABC, CBS, they were under no such illusions. Their job was to provide entertainment and information to as many people as possible, whether or not the executives were offended. For example, the famous show on CBS, the Sunday night show at 8, All in the Family, the famous All in the Family was despised by William Paley, the founder of CBS. He hated the show. He did not want the show on the air. It offended him on every level. He'd go to his cocktail parties, and they'd wonder, Mr. Paley, why do you have this garbage on the air? But, you know, gee, it was the number one show on television, so for some reason it stayed on. And then on the other example, a huge show, a big moneymaker for NBC, was despised by Julie, what the heck was his name, by the chairman of NBC at the time. That was the Gong Show.
The Gong Show.
Yeah, his friends in the Hamptons, Julian Goodman, his friends in the Hamptons did not want the Gong Show anywhere near them. But, gee, you know, he was serving the public and not his personal taste. And I'll tell you, when you give people in hoodies with MBAs from Stanford the freedom to decide what goes out and what doesn't, it's a sad, sad state of affairs. It's a sad state of what they think is important and what isn't, Rob Carson.
Yeah, Bill, I absolutely agree. And it is, it's kind of a, I've always said, you know, I my dream was to be Johnny Carson. And I think that I, you know, lost that a long time ago because I, you know, started writing for Rush Limbaugh right out of college. And there's, if you, you know, for instance, if you look at, you know, name five A-list actors in Hollywood who are out, who are openly conservative. And you can't, you can't, because there is a thought apartheid, against conservatism. You know, I'm not meaning to play victim here, but, there is, you can do some things, you can say some things. And, you know, and then the corporate media says you can't. I mean, you know, name a TV show that is conservative on network television. Tim Allen's last show, Last Man Standing, was canceled. So it's a shame that corporate media not only, you know, decides for its viewers what they should watch, but also sometimes even have a given political philosophy that they are willing to kind of ascribe to.
Any Rob Carson of Newsmax, any medium, any national entertainment source that has committed itself to one very narrow point of view, they always die. It does not last. And I had the privilege of sharing a mentorship with Rush Limbaugh. Ed McLaughlin was my mentor. And Ed McLaughlin was Rush's mentor. But I got to see a very historic conversation between the two of them early on in the Rush Limbaugh syndication. Rush did a print interview, and he was asked, what is your goal? And he said, my goal is to inform. And Ed McLaughlin looks at this, and I happened to be in the office that day, looks at this and goes, I've got to talk to him the minute he gets off the air. I have to talk to him the second he gets off the air. That is not his job. And so Rush comes in, there's Ed. He looks at him and says, he looks at him and just says this, Rush, your job is to entertain. And the difference between what Rush went out and did and all of his many, many imitators is that very little of Rush's show was discussing conservative dogma. Instead, what he did is what his genius was. You knew his dogma, but what his genius was, every day he brought in new evidence and new stories. Every day it was a fresh show. Meanwhile, all of his imitators, all they do is scream, those Democrats are ruining everything. Well, guess what? That's not entertaining. And those shows have no ratings. But yours does, Rob Carson's. Yours does. And now tell me, you do these food videos on YouTube.
Yes.
What meal has gotten you the best response? What has gotten you the most response?
Well, I have a guacamole that I call Guac of Ages. And it is just, I think, the catchy name, and also it's a really good recipe. But over the years, it's been on a number of different sites, YouTube also. I did a bunch of videos in Washington, D.C. with a company, and it was on monkeyc.com, and that was about 12 years ago. And there was a roasted Asian spare ribs recipe on there that got a lot of views. A chicken fried steak recipe that got a lot of views. But I think my guacamole, which is called Guac of Ages, got the best response.
Well, you're a tremendous talent, in my humble opinion. Now,
a lot to me, Robert, or Robert Walter. That means a lot to me because I've been following you for a long time. I've been in the industry for a long time. So it really does mean a lot coming from you. I really mean that.
Usually the only people who follow me are detectives from MasterCard, which proves that I'm in show business. Now, here's the thing, Rob Carson. Rob Carson,
yes, sir.
What is the name of the YouTube videos where we can watch you cook?
Well, what I would do is you can go and just Google either Rob Carson Cooks or go to monkeyc.com. It's monkeyse.com. And then just look for my name there. But I mean, I'm in so many different places. If you just look like Rob, if you look up Rob Carson Cooks.
Rob, you're in radio. Yeah. You know you can sell one place or everything else is forgotten. Give us one place.
Yes. Monkeyc.com and look up Rob Carson.
Listen, star of Newsmax, an honor to have you. An honor to have you on Sterling on Sunday, Rob Carson. I really appreciate your time on a Sunday night. Thank you so much. All right, that's Rob Carson of Newsmax. This is a very exciting network radio show. Coming up, you're going to hear something amazing, a trend in the theater business that I went, that is absolutely fascinating. And then we'll get our report from the North Pole, and then we'll talk about lesbianism in network television. I really can't deliver to you a better show than I'm doing tonight because I have very limited skills and very limited talent. But I appreciate you being with me. I sure do. We're going to talk about the incredible weather situation in the Midwest coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Are songwriters making up the words, or are the singers just so bad we can't understand what they're singing? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain this phenomenon later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Dating a coworker, really problematic, especially at a strip club. Strippers on the loose, later, Sterling at night. This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. No, all Asians don't look alike, racial profiling. People of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the embarrassing story of how I once mistook a breast pump for an antique telephone. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, here's some tips you're going to pick up from today's Florida stories. Don't leave anything out by the trash you don't want thrown away. Don't leave an identification at the scene of a crime. And if your girlfriend gets pregnant and you don't want to be a father, you don't have to kill her. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on today's Florida Stories.
Stories from our old house with our eight kids. Dan and Becky Gaffney here.
You want to know how we make it easy to do birthdays with eight kids?
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
All right, it's a network radio show. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and the most shocking fact about this show is it's live. The Bitcoin show and the annuity show that is so often aired at these times on these on terrible radio stations, they're never live. But this station has the wisdom to say, you know, we need a live show that's something that's entertaining and doesn't scream at the Democrats. Maybe we could take a break from that for just a few moments. And then you're listening to the radio and you hear this.
It's a hope again. It's about dreams that came true and some that didn't. It's the story of the Louisiana Hayride.
It's time to remind you that in the Arklatex in the Central Time Zone, the time is now 8 o'clock.
The Arklatex. As I've mentioned, when I first heard that, I went, where the hell are the Arklatex? Is that an ice cream company? It sounds sort of like an ice cream company. The Arklatex. And then I looked it up. It is where Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas meet, where their satanic traits meet late at night. That is where the border of Arkansas, Louisiana, and Texas meet. Have you been there? Have you been to the Arklatex? Don't get out of your truck if you drive through there. And if you drive through there with a Jersey license, a New York license, or worse, a California license, do not be surprised if your relatives spend the rest of their lives wondering what happened to you and where you went. The Arklatex. You've been there? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Anonymously, I'll let you tell me what the heck is in the Arklatex. Joanne Jeanette, look at you. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Joanne. How the hell did your career get to the point where you're on this show?
Hi, Walter. It is so good to hear from you. Your last guest, Rob Carson. Love him. And I love that his dream was to grow up to be Johnny Carson. So was mine.
And you both could have been easily, because you have that kind of talent, that sort of personality. You said something remarkable on the overrated LinkedIn. And what you said was, you explained that today people are using movie theaters in their communities in a different way. Joanne, tell me about that. That's amazing.
They are. So technology is always advancing. And you, myself, anyone who's ever worked in any type of media, we have watched this thing just evolve into, it's hard to catch up. And so you have to constantly be innovative with the, you know, with the internet, with whether you're doing social media, just everything. And so with the pandemic, even prior to the pandemic, movie theaters were having a really hard time getting people into the theater. And pandemic definitely harmed the entertainment industry as we used to know it, right? Your traditional Hollywood formula. And so I had moved to Santa Clarita, California, which is known as North Hollywood, in 2019. Right before the pandemic, it struck. Everything that we moved here for, it didn't really, we kind of lost the jobs that we moved here for, but we're here, we moved the kids, what do we do? So during the pandemic, I got sick of television completely. I said, oh my, I'm not watching any of this. So I started going out and doing more live theater, live events, doing that. And so I would go to live comedy, I would go to, you know, bands, anything that was not a screen. And through that, I started meeting more and more people. Up here in North Hollywood, Santa Clarita, you have a lot of Hollywood people living here because it is more moderate. It is a little bit more conservative. Well, it's actually a lot more conservative than you'd have in Hollywood and those areas around LA and Burbank. And so I started meeting people, and I met this woman, and she had come up with this idea of, wait a minute, why don't we have a film festival in Santa Clarita? So she started it 2 years ago. First year, I think it got like 500 people. She was blown away. She rented out the local theater. She rented out like a couple empty strip mall stores and had bands in there and comedy, like maybe 500 people or 800 people. But she kind of just threw it together and it grew. Last year, she was much more prepared, had more people on board. There was 1,800 people. And this year, I am now the director of community relations for the Santa Clarita International Film Festival, meaning that we're taking independence, real independence, and we're holding a festival. How do you get people in theaters? You hold an event. You have the films made by the people that you know. You know, I can go see another George Lucas film or Steven Spielberg, but I've already made them rich. And they never say thank you. Like, they don't call me and go, hey, thanks for going to my movie. So it makes more sense now that you have these theaters that are hurting to rent out the theater and spotlight your community's artwork. And it's not just the Santa Clarita International Film Festival. What we did, it's not just films. We also have some businesses involved. So we're doing comedy and we're doing bands and we're doing artist displays. So we're making it an event. And if you make an event, right, build it and they will come. And so last year, again, it like exploded and it got ahead of her where she needed help. So I had met her. She said, do you want to come on board? And I said, absolutely.
Well, Joanne.
So this is kind of the trend.
Joanne Jeanette, if I'm in a city of 500,000 people and there are a couple movie theaters downtown that don't seem to be busy, what seems to be the going rate to rent out one of those movie theaters to show my groovy, cool digital videos?
Okay, it could be several thousand. So, you know, this is something that you would have to, in a big city, you would have to negotiate. You would definitely have to negotiate with the theater. For our event, it's a whole 4-day event. So we're talking in the tens of thousands. And we're also doing over 100 films. But now,
There are 100 over 100 films in Santa Clarita?
Well, keep in mind, we're North Hollywood. There's so much content and films being made independently that aren't getting through the house. They're being done independently. And so they're submitting their work to my boss, Lisa, and then she's deciding.
We don't care about Joanne, yeah. Be a broadcaster. We don't know who Lisa is. We don't care about her. We care about you and this amazing idea. Who cares about Lisa? It's a lot of nonsense.
Well, it was her idea.
Okay, great. Terrific. Wonderful, Picasso. Now, listen. So, it's an exciting idea. More importantly, last week you listened to Sterling on Sunday. Is that correct?
I did. I heard what you said.
And would you be embarrassed to refer this to your friends?
Oh, no. You had said, you were asking the question, if when you were... you said you had like a cart or something, right? Like a mobile device?
No. Talk in the big terms. The show. Did you enjoy the show?
Absolutely, I enjoyed the show.
And would you refer it to your radio friends? Would you say, gee, Walter does this show? And
absolutely,
it isn't like anything else. It's remarkable and different. And it's on 750,000 watt clear channel stations live right now. And about 100
live
others.
Radio.
It's all live, which only makes me nervous if I let myself think about it.
Right.
So you would refer this to other people because, you see, I seem to be a pariah in the radio industry. This show seems to be a deep and profound mystery to them, Joanne. They don't quite understand why it's been on 9 years on giant radio stations, and I don't talk about the Democrats.
Because it's live, and you're interacting with people, would be my assumption.
Not that I'm entertaining.
And that you're entertaining.
There you go, Joanne, a real broadcaster.
You're very entertaining.
The Queen of Santa Clarita, I really appreciate you sharing that story because I think it's fascinating that we're at a moment of time where you and I think so much of our personal content that we create that we're like, Yeah, I'm going to rent out a theater. I want people to see this. Thank you very much, Joanne Jeanette. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. Be sure to tell all of your radio friends who are going, oh, why don't they do shows other than politics? You say, yes, Walter's on every Sunday night live from 10 to 1. He does a show called Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Yes. Hello. I'm looking at various audio files, trying to figure out which ones to share next. But first, let's talk to our buddy, the DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, Alaska. As you can see, I'm very distracted. If I had a few more years on the radio, I'd be able to handle this. But oh well. Keith, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Now, I understand there was a huge race. There's a huge race going on right now in Alaska. Like, it's the biggest deal in the state of Alaska. Would you please describe that to us? And would you please state the, you know, say the name, because I'll mispronounce it.
I'm not sure what race.
The dog race.
The dog race.
The dog race. The dog race.
Yeah, that one started.
Right. What is that? Because it's like a state holiday, isn't it?
Oh, not really a holiday, but you get people from out of state and in state that come out with their sled dogs that they trained all year, and then they race part of Alaska.
There are only 33 participants this year, which is like the least they've ever had. But I understand this is a very long race.
Yeah, it can go on for a couple weeks.
Okay, so you're not interested in that at all. What are you interested in tonight?
Well, this week, you know, I talked to you. We started talking a few months ago about the ordeal where the cops were harassing me because of my Christmas lights.
Isn't this done? Aren't we done with this?
Yeah, we won that. You know, everything, the dust settled. But now this week, we have a corner that we sit at. Like, picture your Walmart parking lot. And we sit in a back corner, a group of us dashers, in between orders. When we don't have orders, we go and sit so we stay out of the way of traffic, stuff like that. Well, Saturday morning, I got surrounded by five of our local North Pole Police Department with another dasher sitting next to me. And they told me I had 10 seconds to leave the property because the owner doesn't want DoorDashers sitting on his property anymore waiting for orders. Now, that's fine. We have other places we can go and park. We're just trying to make a living for our families out here. But they trespassed me from the parking lot. The owner did. But in this parking lot, there's our local grocery store, which is Safeway. And they are telling me that if I go and get food for my family, now you have to take into account, this is the only store within 30 miles. This is our only grocery store. And so I can't even go in there to go shopping. I can't go in there to get my son's medicine without being arrested now when I haven't broken any laws. And all I do is sit in their parking. This has been going on. We've been parking there for years.
What is the pretext for arresting you? What is it?
They said the owner doesn't want us parked there anymore, and it's criminal trespass. And they kicked me off the property for 60 days, meaning I can't even go shopping for my family to feed them in my own town.
It's a public parking lot. It's a public parking lot?
Well, it's a public parking lot, but this family, I want to say, I'm going to slaughter the last name, but Krovars, and they own pretty much property all in North Pole and Fairbanks. They own like half of North Pole. They've never talked to us, nothing like that. Just out of us, you know, I've been doing this 6 years out here. And it's the same place because you have to think we're in Alaska, like 23 hours of the day in the winter, it's dark. And we have dashers out here that don't do it full time. Like, we have teachers. We even have a state trooper that comes out here at night and dashes. But now we're being told we can't park there I can't shop there. And anybody now that is a dasher that goes through that parking lot are getting warnings. Like, I don't understand this. So local people are calling the company and we want answers. Like,
what does your,
hopefully maybe your audience can help.
What, my audience are half asleep. What does your lawyer say?
I haven't gotten a lawyer yet, but I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of maybe somebody can give me some advice, but it's like, I haven't broken any laws.
All right.
And to
here's what we're going to do. Right. Here's what we're going to do. It's insane that you've been parking in this parking lot for years. All of a sudden, they want you off of the parking lot for reasons that make no sense to me. If you come into the store, you'll be arrested. Okay, all of that's crazy talk. Therefore, what I'm going to do next week for you is I will have a lawyer on the phone. You will tell this story to a real lawyer, a scary, like one of those scary lawyers. And let's find out what he has to say. Thank you so much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You are a great contributor. You are the king of Alaska, Ken, and I appreciate you being with me. 888-688-WALT. This is a live radio show, and coming up, you and I are going to talk about excellent lesbian scenes in hit TV shows, plus TV shows that were canceled on you, and you still resent it. Because these are the things that, this is the important stuff. This is the important stuff. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Are songwriters making up the words, or are the singers just so bad we can't understand what they're singing? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain this phenomenon later on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Dating a coworker, really problematic, especially at a strip club. Strippers on the loose, later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the embarrassing story of how I once mistook a breast pump for an antique telephone. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Stories from our old house with our eight kids, Dan and Becky Gaffney here.
You want to know how we make it easy to do birthdays with eight kids?
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Shoplifting at Walmart, we've been discussing it quite a bit. Big deal. Loss prevention expert calls in the cops. Hudson, Florida. They arrest a fellow that they believe may be a shoplifter. He wasn't a shoplifter at all. He was picked out because he was Asian. Federal lawsuit against Walmart and against the deputy for arresting a rando Asian guy just going beyond his business. No, I will give you the answer. All Asian people do not look alike. They don't. And if you're the loss prevention specialist at Walmart, you shouldn't be saying that type of stuff. If you're the loss prevention specialist at Walmart, you shouldn't be going out and saying, hey, well, the guy that I saw on the camera shoving that steak down his pants was an Asian guy, and this guy, well, Asian, and is wearing a blue shirt as well. All right, a couple of things. Racial profiling is never that good. It just isn't. Stereotyping people, not that good. The employee identified as Cody, Mr. Nguyen, the Asian feller, falsely arrested, falsely accused, may be a major shareholder in Walmart. A lesson for us all. For the people of Walmart, I'm Philo Hool for Sterling at Night.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Here we are on KDKA and KFBK. Two Ks. Too many Ks. A night of too many Ks. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday, a live network radio show. It is great to be with you, because who else would have you? No one else would have you. This is the strangest time of the week to be on the radio because if left to their own devices, every one of the owners of these radios would just turn off the station, save the money for 6 hours, turn off the station. That's pretty much how they staff it. But here I am live. I do what you do. I will find a television show where I sit back and go, oh my gosh, where has this show been? This is the best show ever. And then watch it obsessively. Now, I had the greatest gift any man could have this week. My wife was out of town for 7 days. Do you know what a gift that is? My wife was out of town for 7 days. I don't need to go to Hawaii. I don't need to go to Bermuda. I don't need to go to Paris. I have had my vacation for the next 3 years. My wife went out of town for 7 days. What does that mean? Strippers, golf? No. It means nonstop television viewing and snacking. Television viewing and snacking. However, my snacking these days is problematic. I will share that with you coming up in just seconds. But I obsessively watched a TV show. I can't believe I didn't know it was on when it was on. It was on for like 2017 and 2018. I had never heard of it. I'm watching Hulu, and it's streaming on Hulu. I think it's Hulu. The name of the show is For the People. It is a Shonda Rhimes show. And, you know, she did Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, shows that you like. And she did For the People. And the premise of For the People is it takes place in the Northeast District Court in New York City, which is the mother court, apparently. It's the biggest district court, the most important district court. It was Giuliani's court. And it has the prosecutors and the public defenders. Apparently, they work in the same building. And something I didn't understand, they all got hired at the same time. So there's 6 public defenders, 6 prosecutors, all seem to get hired at the same time, all 28 years old, all in perfect shape, all with beautiful clothes on, and all snappy, 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 clever. Okay, I don't care about that. I don't like police procedural shows. I would never seek out a court legal procedural show. I don't watch BritBox. And I saw Law & Order about 20 times. That's enough. It'll be on for another 20 years. But this show, For the People, had something in it I've never seen in a legal show. And God bless Shonda Rhimes for having the courage to do this. You see, one of the prosecutors, whose name is Kate Littlejohn, and Kate Littlejohn is played by Susanna Flood, who's a remarkable New York City stage actress, funny as hell, just a gifted actress. All right, gifted actress, says funny things, is very attractive, sharp, good at what she does, all very attractive traits in anybody. However, there's this undercover agent, a DEA undercover agent or something, or a major crime unit undercover agent. And she's gorgeous. And now they find themselves working together on a case. And at the end of their meetings, the beautiful undercover agent type says, "Can I have your number?" So to Kate Littlejohn, the prosecutor. And she hesitates. No, just in case there are any more questions I have about the case. That night that she got the number.
It's Anya Ooms with the ATF.
I need legal advice.
I can help with that.
I wanted to ask this girl I work with to do something dangerous.
Come on, get the typewriter over here. Come on, stop running out of leave.
Now they're at a shooting range.
Whoa! I like this. I like this too.
Now they're very close.
Back it up. Rewind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you in an uncomfortable position.
Like this.
We've been working together for years, and it's.
And then they kissed. The DEA agent, or whatever it is, and Kate Littlejohn, this prosecutor, Now they're making out. And it's the, I swear, of course, you've seen too many lesbian scenes in your life. I've seen too many in my life, but I've never seen any executed as well as this. I put it on my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, a Facebook page. I posted it. And I'm like, I'm going to watch this show and watch for this couple to come together every week from now on. And then something happened. And I will tell you what happened in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you. All right. Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, as we dive into Florida stories here, let's address a couple of viral trends. Me being the host of the galaxy's most popular show about Florida since, I don't know, Miami Vice, I get all kinds of tips, tweets, memes from you, and I'm going to share with you some insights I've noticed on a couple of trends here. One is the dress code at the Miami airport. This is anecdotal, sure, but over the last, I don't know, about year or so, I have noticed a trend, a series of viral photos, sometimes videos, of women who are improperly dressed, barely dressed in the airport in Miami. And it's specifically the Miami airport. It's not the one in Orlando or Tampa or Jacksonville. It's specifically the Miami airport. And it's almost always bikinis, but it's not like they're just running around in their drawers. There's like a see-through sarong or wrap or whatever the ladies call it. But the see-through clothing, usually bikinis, and, it's not always women you want to see in such a state of clothing. But, you know, that's one of the big trends. The other one, these genius criminals who leave behind identification at their crime. Here's one that happened in Palm Coast Bay. This dude breaks into a gas station, uses a knife to jimmy the lock, goes in, steals a couple things, but leaves his debit card on the counter, saying the intent is to pay for it.
So I just broke in with a knife.
For what? Back door?
Yeah, through the back door. It's all on the security camera, I'm sure.
Yeah, we never watched them.
What was your intention by leaving your card behind?
So that I could come back later and pay for it.
Okay.
Just so they knew my name, you know? Just in case they got picked up. I didn't want to steal anything, you know? It's against the law.
Do you buy that? I mean, this is almost an honest sort of criminal-ish. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but if you're that honest, why would you break into a place? Why would you break into a gas station in the first? I don't know, but, you know, we see weird things like that all the time. Maybe he was just honest, and he's just incredibly, just has Florida running through his veins, through and through.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
is this? Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Kate Littlejohn, it's Anya Ooms with the ATF.
I need legal advice.
I can help with that.
I wanted to ask this girl I work with to do something dangerous.
Now they're at a rifle range.
Whoa! I like this. I like this too.
They're very close to each other.
Back it up. Rewind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you in a difficult position. We're going to be working together for years, and it's...
And then they did. The show is called For the People, a Shonda Rhimes show on ABC. It lasted two seasons. I think it ended in 2018. This was a brilliant, clever, funny New York show. A very New York show. And the theme of casual sex and lesbianism rifled through the first season, along with murder trials, fraud trials, smuggling trials, but there was the lesbian running through the first season. And I thought the show was doing pretty well. In the end of the second season, it was canceled. I watched the whole second season. And some genius at ABC eliminated the sex scenes. There were no more lesbian sex scenes, no more any sex scenes, as best I could tell. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe then they were just clever in conference rooms. But I really didn't care if they were clever in conference rooms. I wanted them to commit the dark arts of lesbianism.
Kate Littlejohn, it's Anya Oops with the ATF.
I need legal advice.
I can help with that. I wanted to ask this girl I work with to do something dangerous.
Then they go to a shooting range. They're very close to it.
Whoa! I like this. I like this too.
And then she tries to kiss her.
Back it up. Rewind. I'm sorry. I don't mean
and
to put you
rejected.
In a difficult position. We're going to be working together for years, and it's...
Now, there's no reason for you to know this, but one of the things that I'm particularly good at, and I don't claim credit for being good at many things, but I'm particularly good at spotting talent, extraordinary talent, and I can spot it in 10 seconds. I hate to tell you how many people you listen to on the radio are there because I spotted it in 10 seconds, and then they had a flourishing career, and I never heard from them again, but... Susanna Flood, who played Kate Littlejohn on For the People, is a star, a huge star. Now she's on Life and Beth with Amy Schumer. She plays Amy Schumer's sister. I can take just so much of Amy Schumer. Maybe, you know, once a year I could watch a half hour of Amy Schumer. That's enough. But I could watch Susanna Flood for months. Such an interesting actress, such an interesting look, and such a command of the situation that it's interesting. She's always cast as a very similar person, the one who's just a little better than her peers, the one with the smart mouth, the one with the little extra year in college, a really impressive set of characters. But she makes them work because at the beginning of every one of Susanna Flood's appearances, her character is not sympathetic. Whoever she's playing, it's not a sympathetic character. And by the end of the episode or by the end of the play, you feel empathy for the character. You like the character. And I'm like, on For the People, she was the star of that show, the Shonda Rhimes show that ran for two seasons on ABC. She was the star of that show. Where's her next vehicle? Where is her next starring vehicle? Why are all the talent development people in New York and L.A. asleep at the switch about Susanna Flood? It's nice that Amy Schumer has her own series, but I'd really like to see Susanna Flood have her own series. Now, I'm going to keep saying this name until you go, oh, geez, let me look it up and see what the heck he's talking about. I've posted a video of her on Facebook, Walter Sterling, and a couple pictures on TikTok and Instagram, Walter M. Sterling on Instagram, and on Twitter, Walter M. Sterling on Twitter. Command that social media, Walter. You have to be on top of that social media. That is the future. Okay, as long as they all are in quicksands of debt, I'm not so sure it's their future, but I am so sure that Susanna Flood is a major star waiting for the star vehicle. Let's get going, talent development people. Let's get hustling. I will talk about that show every single week when you finally produce it and get it on the air. That's a major star. So many of the other, quote, stars that are elevated and made big, they're really not. This one is quirky and interesting and... I'm crazy about her. Just crazy about her. Susanna Flood. All right, this is a very exciting show, don't you think? I'm Walter Sterling. Hi, good evening. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the embarrassing story of how I once mistook a breast pump for an antique telephone. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Stories from our old house with our eight kids, Dan and Becky Gaffney here.
You want to know how we make it easy to do birthdays with eight kids?
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. We're going to jump over to Orange County, Florida, and more specifically the Orange County Courthouse, where in the center of Orlando at the jail facilities, there's a woman who, you know, she's old. She's already on Social Security. She's got 72 years under her belt already, but she's still working out there. She's on the custodial team after the court proceedings for the day had adjourned and almost everyone else was gone. She's in there cleaning up, and she accidentally shuts herself into a holding cell.
The janitor was cleaning the courthouse when she walked into a holding cell there and couldn't get back out.
It had a self-closing door. There was no way for her to unlock it once she was inside of it.
Inside without her phone, without food, and just a little bit of water from the top of the toilet. Vargas de Dinas was stuck there until an officer found her Monday morning.
Now, I don't know why that is so hilarious, but that story just brings a smile to my face. Not because I enjoy the sufferings of a 72-year-old grandma who's going without, you know, food for the entire weekend. But it's funny because it doesn't sound real. It sounds like an episode of Seinfeld, like one of those wacky sitcoms. Like, oh, no, look, grandma, you got stuck in the holding cell for the whole weekend. You had to drink out of the toilet. I think doing the show is kind of making me deranged.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Pasco County, where in Pasco County, I don't know if this is a complaint or not. Do you have problems getting your trash guys to pick the bulk stuff you leave out? What if they did too good of a job?
I would never set it over here by the trash. I'm not going to throw my furniture away.
Barry and Susie Court say they stack their outdoor furniture on the lawn. A one-year-old four-piece wicker set with chairs, glass table, and two antique rocking chairs, and their window screens. This was all so they could pressure wash the house. But while pressure washing in the backyard, the garbage truck came by. And as you can see in this photo from a neighbor's security video, the workers mistakenly thought the furniture was trash.
I can't blame them. I don't want to get mad at the garbage guys for doing their job. Because if you didn't see the yard there, it's only like a couple of feet deep. So anything you put in the front yard is going to be necessarily curbside. So that's not fair. And it's not my fault. Your patio furniture can be mistaken for trash. Maybe you should dust it every once in a while, or I don't know, maybe a little paint touch up or whatever. But act like you've been aggrieved because, you know, it wasn't right next to your trash and they took it anyway. Man, you can't blame some guys. They don't know. Maybe put a sign on it or something. They're not mind readers.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Because I've been home alone for a week, my wife was out of town for a week, I got time to work on new resentments, to be able to spend time quietly to myself. I'm Walter Sterling. Hello. And what my resentments are focused on are television shows that I love that got canceled. And this is the promise of cable, isn't it? It's the promise of streaming, that now we have more things to resent being canceled. And we have more television executives to resent because they only make 10 episodes, maybe 12. They think they're British. That's how the BBC started. They said, all right, you can make this show. And when you run out of scripts and ideas, that's the end of it. That's how they did British television. 10 episodes, 8 episodes, 12. And then when they ran out of ideas, they stopped making the show. Here we have Grey's Anatomy. Running for 17 years. No shortage of ideas. Just keep delivering that $2 million a week check to produce the show. Ideas will never run out. That's the difference. But I've developed a resentment now about two shows that are like, why could they have canceled this? Why did they cancel this? There's one called For the People by Shonda Rhimes. Two seasons. You can see it streamed on Hulu. This was a great show. It was incredible. It was set in New York, the Southern District Circuit Court of New York. It was about both the prosecutors and the federal defense attorneys, the federal public defenders, working in the same office. And for some reason, they hired the entire staff on the same day. They swore in 12 people on the same day. I don't think it happens like that, but that's how it happened on this television show. Meanwhile, they're all fantasizing about each other, falling over each other, and they're all oddly, incredibly well-dressed, and none of them are overweight. But the thing that intrigued me most, very quickly, an undercover agent, a crime buster working for the FBI or some organization like that, she spots one of the prosecutors, a character named Kate Littlejohn. And Anya, the crime fighter, goes after Kate Littlejohn, the prosecutor. And these are the hottest lesbian scenes I have ever seen in anything, in a porno, television, cable, whatever. This is the hottest lesbian scene I have ever seen.
Kate Littlejohn, it's Anya Oos with the ATF.
I need legal advice.
I can help with that. I wanted to ask this girl I work with to do something dangerous.
Come on, get the typewriter over here. Come on, stop fighting on the lead.
They go to a shooting range.
Whoa, I like this. I like this too.
Now they're very close. And she goes in for the kiss.
Rewind. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
And she gets rejected.
In a comfortable position. We're going to be working together for years, and it's.
But then the prosecutor grabs the undercover agent, and they make out in the shooting range. Two hot women in a shooting range with no one else around making out on ABC on a Shonda Rhimes show. What could be better than that? And then, end of first season. Second season starts, they never have another sex scene. I swear they didn't have another sex scene. Oh, gee, the show fails. So I resent ABC for canceling For the People. Did you see that show? Do you have thoughts, feelings? 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Shows you wish had never been canceled. And, of course, my follow-up question will be, why? Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to win a prize if they can guess the mystery sounds that I will be sharing with you. But then there was another show that was canceled that also annoyed me very much.
You, Connie.
Miss Connie Francis.
Eve Way.
American Dreams, a recreation of the Dick Clark Show. American Dreams, a recreation of American Bandstand in Philadelphia before it moved to Hollywood and was screwed up forever. Connie Francis, I'm sure, appeared on it many times, but this is an actual excerpt of somebody pretending to be Connie Francis. And we have to talk about Spring Break. But this was a great show. It starred Brittany Snow. You'd follow Brittany Snow anywhere. She was the star of the Pitch Perfect movies. This was canceled after, what, three seasons? I think it was three seasons. Beautiful, beautifully constructed show. Captured the era perfectly. This is not nostalgia. This was great television. These were canceled. What was canceled that has really annoyed you? Gives you a chance to vent on network radio. Very rarely does it give you a chance to do that. Usually you have to talk about voting machines. Who cares about voting machines? My phone number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Let me see if I can find quickly the sound effect I want you to guess. Let's see. See if you can identify this. No, that's not it. And let's see about this. Hold on. Yes. If you can identify these three television show themes, you will get a prize of no value, but you'll be very excited about it. Ready? Here, listen to this. 1, 2, 3. Guess those three TV themes, you'll win a prize of questionable value. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, this goes under the file in the Florida Stories file cabinet of why don't you just break up with her? And that's getting to be a pretty deep file in the Florida Stories file cabinet. This is in the Tampa area where a 25-year-old Florida man, he's on trial for the killing of two men. And just a few weeks ago, he was acquitted in the trial of killing two men. Now, while he had been on trial for killing two men, he got his girlfriend pregnant. Now, I don't know what the ideal circumstances are for a pregnancy to occur top to bottom, but I know in that checklist, one of them isn't going to be, hey, you got pregnant from a dude who's currently on trial for double murder. Well, he's acquitted 2 weeks after he is freed from those charges. He murders the girlfriend and by proxy, his own unborn child. And when the cops caught up with him, hey, why did you kill this beautiful 22-year-old woman after you found out you had gotten her pregnant? He said, because he didn't want to be a father. You could just break up with her. You don't have to kill her. And there are worse things. Listen, I'm a father. I know it can be tough. It can be financially draining, emotionally draining. It is a huge responsibility, huge burden. And also it is one of life's great joys. I can understand why some people just would not want to choose this. But you know what you could do? You could just break up with her. You don't have to murder her. You could, I don't know, maybe talk her into adoption or just disown her like the old days. But you know whose fault this is? This is Maury Povich's fault because him and all them damn genetic tests let all the women know in the world that you can just go sleep with anyone you want. It could be some murderer. It could be some soon-to-be double murderer. It could be whatever. But in the back of your mind, you know that there's going to be that little show that you can put him on. You are the father, and then you do the little dance in front of him. And the whole crowd's going to boo, and he's going to get all upset. And then the bald guy has to hold him back. And that's where the problem is right there. Maury Povich.
Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
And this is Sterling on Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. every single Sunday. It's a giant 3-hour show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time. Welcome. Christian at 888-688-9258. Christian, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, thank you.
How may I be of service to you tonight?
Well, I was listening to your show today, and we were talking about shows that got canceled, and I have a good one.
Yes.
So, I don't know if all of you are known with the show The Goldbergs.
Yes.
Yeah. And it had a spinoff called Schooled, and it was dated in the 90s
right.
when all the friends and whatnot were teachers. Now, I don't know the full reason why it got canceled, but I do want it back because the show The Goldbergs is coming into the 90s, so I think bringing it back would be a nice transition.
What was Schooled about?
It was about these friends and a family who grew up and they became teachers at their childhood school. So it was nice. It would be nice to pick up from there.
How many seasons was it on?
It was on about 2 or 3, I think, yeah.
And you resent that ABC pulled this off the air, is that right?
Oh, 100%.
Got it. All right. Now, please tell me, what are these television show themes? What are the shows that these themes go to? Christian, in Independence, with what, which shows are those the themes to?
All right, the first one I know because my family loves the show. It's Stranger Things.
And number two?
Number two. Oh no. Dang, I got nothing.
Christian, you have a lot. You had the good taste to call Sterling on Sunday and listen to us from our new affiliate in Independence, Missouri, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much for your call. Whoever guesses all three themes will win a prize of questionable value. However, it will be a unique prize, and you will be proud to own it. You and I are talking tonight about shows that we resent, hate, that were canceled. The two shows that I resent, hate, that were canceled were For the People, a Shonda Rhimes show on ABC that featured the finest lesbian makeout scenes I have ever seen on commercial television, or in my opinion, anywhere. Hot as hell. And American Dreams, a family drama taking place in 1962 Philadelphia, around the Dick Clark Show, American Bandstand. Brilliant program, beautifully done. Technically a superior achievement because they actually shot the show through old television cameras. They actually shot Bandstand to make the show. I'm Walter M. Sterling. My number is 888-688-9258. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Are songwriters making up the words, or are the singers just so bad we can't understand what they're singing? I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. I'll explain this phenomenon later on Sterling on Sunday.
Stories from our old house with our eight kids, Dan and Becky Gaffney here.
You want to know how we make it easy to do birthdays with eight kids?
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Anyone who has been in a relationship has had a moment where you've had an argument, right? Now, it's very rarely do arguments get to blows, but occasionally they do. And a workplace romance is never a smart idea. Kiara Miller, 29 years old, became upset when she saw her ex-boyfriend, a security guard at Baby Doll Strip Club, attempt to speak to another one of their co-workers. And as happens in this situation, Kiara grabbed a Guido roll. Do you know what a Guido roll is? This is a roll of money with a wonderful rubber band around it. Told all the money together. It's in a roll. She used it as, well, shall we say, a support for her fist as she punched the heck out of her ex. Obviously, we know a woman scorned is a bad thing. We also know that when you date a coworker, after you break up and you're working in the same place, not that fun. Especially when someone has a hurt heart. This Kiara Miller, shall I say, I've seen pictures. She is a willowy, attractive lass. And not when you go to a Exotic Dancing Emporium, you see homely women, but she is a particularly attractive Lex. All right. Miller, by the way, has been convicted of a lot of things, including reckless driving, marijuana possession, and driving without a license. A lot of our exotic dancers are not preparing to become cosmetologists or wanting to open up a daycare center. A lot of them have criminal problems and also drug abuse issues. If you're going to fall in love, watch your heart. Watch it carefully. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool for Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. We are here together because you just don't belong. I love this brilliant solution to what you do if you're on an airplane and the people behind you are making too much noise. This is a truly brilliant solution.
Here's a scam for the girls and the guys. If you're ever at a hotel, or I've used this on airplanes as well, where people are next to you and being really loud and rude, and you like want to ask them to be quiet, if you say to them, "Hey, I'm sorry, could you please quiet down? I have to wake up really early for a funeral tomorrow." Every time, they immediately feel so bad, and they will quiet down instantly.
Brilliant. Sad, but brilliant. Here's something that happened to me that caused me to feel guilt. I mentioned it last week. The response was overwhelming about whether or not I should feel guilt. For a couple weeks, I had a bad right foot. My right foot hurt a lot. I had plantar fasciitis. I went to the foot doctor. I'll tell you about that later. I know you can't wait to hear about my foot doctor visits. I'm at Walmart. And finally, I said, well, wait a minute. They have these motorized carts that I can just sit on the motorized cart and drive around Walmart, which is a huge store. Therefore, walking with a bad foot is a challenge. And finally, I gave in and said, well, I don't have to man up all the time, even though everybody knows I'm like a very serious and important man. I don't have to man up all the time. I don't have to man up at Walmart. And when I go to Walmart, for some reason, it's usually before I took a shower. Therefore, my clothes look kind of ragged. My hair isn't washed. I haven't shaved. I don't look great. Now I get in this motorized cart, and I get the milk. I get the eggs, the $4,000 eggs, and now I'm going to the cashier in this motorized cart, looking pretty bum-like, pretty homeless-like. I get into the line, and as I'm about to pay, a woman behind me looks at the cashier and says, "How much is it?" And the cashier goes, $32. And the woman says, "I've got it. I'll pay for it." And I look at her, I'm like, she's going to pay for my groceries? She's going to pay for my Walmart run? And I let her. But that's not the news. The news is this has happened to me multiple times in multiple stores. If I'm on one of those motorized carts, sitting in one of the motorized carts before I've had a shower, I get up to the cash register, I get up to the cashier, I start to pay, the person behind me goes, excuse me, how much is that, to the cashier, and the cashier tells her, and then I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. It's always a church lady. Now, some people think I'm saying an old lady. No, it's not an old lady. Every time, it's a young woman with young kids. And she's setting an example for her kids about how to be helpful, how to do the right things in the world. Halfway home in the car, I start to feel guilty. I let this woman pay for my groceries. I did not ask. I did not solicit. She volunteered. And she felt really good about helping me out, and she was able to do a good deed. She was able to show her kids something, but I still feel guilty. After I got off the air last week, the only person who did not think that it was okay for me to let this woman pay or these women pay for my groceries was my current wife. My wife was outraged that this was going on behind her back, that she had no knowledge of this, that this was going on, that I was letting perfect strangers pay for our stuff because they felt sorry for the guy in the motorized cart at Walmart. Should I feel guilty about this? Should I feel guilty about letting perfect strangers pay for my stuff because they made an assumption about me? Should I feel guilty? Should I let this happen again? I say, yes, of course. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. You and I should be in touch at all times. I have an email. Every email I get gets answered. Karen with the cats, how are you? Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. My Twitter is Walter M. Sterling. Please sign up for my Twitter account because of the things I put out are brilliant. And then my Facebook account is Walter Sterling. Walter Sterling, where I have posted a video of the finest lesbian scene in the history of modern television from the show For the People. This show was canceled before I even knew it existed. Tragic. The best lesbian scenes I have ever seen. And I've posted it for you on Facebook, Walter Sterling. It's an exciting show, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
Manfred Mann really saying in that song? Is he using a word we don't use in polite company? Hi, I'm Brad. Do you find yourself listening to your favorite AM Top 40 radio station and wonder just what those words are to the song? Did I hear that right, or are the singers just mumbling? Well, in the case of that song we used to open the show, Manfred Mann is actually saying, blinded by the light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night. Now, here are some other songs that might confuse you. CCR sang, there's a bad moon on the rise, but a lot of folks heard it like there's a bathroom on the right. We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. The correct way to say it is, we didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning. Misheard, though, by many people, we didn't start the fire, it was always burning, said the worst attorney. Now, Big Yellow Taxi, another classic by Joni Mitchell. The correct saying, they paved paradise to put up a parking lot. And misheard by many folks, if it ain't paradise, then put up a parking lot. What song lyrics are you still confused about? I'll get your picks following the news and the weather coming up in just a moment.
This is Douglas Edwards. CBS News on the Hour is the sound of news in the making. And this sound introduces our comprehensive news coverage. Distinctively CBS Radio, signaling CBS News. Listen for the signature. And you'll be listening to CBS News on CBS Radio, where what you want to know comes first.
See, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, on a Sunday night, 22 past the hour, driving across the country on Route 80, dealing with the incredible snow throughout the Midwest. Welcome. This is our time. This is the time when you and I are not bothered by people who think it's a good idea to get up early. It's always been astonishing to me that people who get up early think you should get up early. And they're always in sales. Never do content, creative, wonderful, warm, fuzzy people think you should get up early. Because we know the best thing to do is never get out of bed. But there are those who say, you know, you have to get up early. And then they get to the office. And it's 5:30 in the morning. And there's one other insane person there. And the two of you just sitting there staring at each other, thinking, you know, why can't everybody else get in early? But this is what's happening now is exactly what I said was going to happen. And I was the first one to say it, ladies and gentlemen, the first. When the pandemic hit and people were sent home, and it's almost surreal now when you think that an entire country went home. Really surreal. Except for major box stores, big box stores, they somehow stayed open. I don't know how, but they did. Well, I said that once everybody's home, many people are not going to want to come back to work. Because the lie that has taken place for the past 100 years is that it's necessary to leave your house, get in a vehicle of some sort, bus, train, whatever, and go to work. The minute the telephone existed, and then secured by the fact that a fax existed, there was no need to go to work anymore. If you were in a thought industry where you made up ideas, advertising, design, architecture, public relations, radio, there's no need to go to a central physical place. The need exists only if you're manufacturing. If there must be centralized manufacturing facilities, then everybody needs to go to the same place. But even with television networks, what they found out was, thanks to software and laptops, television companies, live stream television shows, live television stations like Fox and CNN, were able to do all of their technical work off of laptops by employees throughout the country. In one place, somebody would put up the graphics. Another place, somebody would start the roll of video. And another place, somebody would do the switching for the studio, where you turn on a microphone, turn off a microphone, adjust the lights. All of it was available by remote. In fact, right now, the radio station I work with, which is WPHT in Philadelphia, even though I'm not in Philadelphia, I am in my laundry room. I am in the basement of my home. I've done this show from the basement of my home every day for 8 years. 8 years. And there's no need for me to go in to torture Henry Machette. Why would he want to be tortured by having to see me? We get to communicate just fine. He gets to eat a sandwich. I don't have to watch that. He's in a different state. He switches this show from a different state. He adds the brilliant audio embellishments from a different state. And I sit in my laundry room trying to figure out how to stay warm. Well, once it became all technically invisible to do work from another location, thousands, millions of employees today are saying, I'm not going back to work. And I'm not just talking about C-suite people. I'm talking about heads of HR. Imagine the head of human relations for big companies is saying, I'm not going back to work. There's no need for me to go to an office. Now, here's the challenge. Most boomer bosses want to see everybody in their office. Boomer bosses want to look over the factory floor and see if everybody's there. And keep an eye on them. Make sure their progress continues. I hated going into an office. Most of my career, I worked alone in an office away from other people. And it's not because I didn't like other people, although I did not. The reason was is that there are introverts and extroverts. There are people who work best alone and people who work best with others. There's nothing more offensive to say to me than, you know, we like team players. Really? Are you the Cleveland Guardians? Is that the Yankees, the Mets? The Dodgers, is that why you like team players? Well, I'm not on the Dodgers team. Therefore, I just have ideas. Give me the assignment. Let me go back to my room, sit in the corner, and I'll come up with answers. I derive energy from being alone. I derive energy from solitude. Others derive energy from being with other people. They need to be around other people to get revved up and get going, and that's fine. But it's interesting that introverts never think you should be more introverted. only extroverts think you should be a team player and get in early. Oh, and be a vegetarian. It's also interesting that vegetarians always think I should be a vegetarian. They also think I should drive a stick, drive a Saab, and listen to public radio. I might listen to public radio if I could understand one word I ever heard. Never have understood one word I've ever heard. But that's our challenge. As a result, today, millions of people are saying, I'm not going back to the office. And this gives big companies a challenge because they've signed 5, 10, 25-year leases on that expensive office space that now they don't need. Plus, they're socially conflicted because, as I said, the CEO, who's often a boomer, wants to see people at work. And now some of these big venture capital firms and bank firms and investment firms are punishing their employees. We adjusted your pay calculating in the commute. When we hired you, we thought about the commute. We put that into your pay. That's a total lie. I have been in those meetings. Never once has any employer thought, well, we should base our pay scale on how far people have to commute. Never has that happened. They came up with this long into the pandemic. Yeah, that's right. We put this into your pay, calculating the commute. Not true. Therefore, it's time to restructure all of this. It makes no sense that everybody has to come to work anymore. What do you think? 888-688-9258. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys always tell girls to calm down and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. Cold low pressure over the Gulf of Alaska and the Pacific Northwest ensures the continuation of the onshore flow, creating below seasonal temperatures and dreary low clouds over coastal California. Some changes in barometric pressure out over the Pacific Ocean by midweek promises a slow warm-up into next weekend, but deeper Pacific moisture might hint at more precipitation in the offing later on in March. In the meantime, rounds of heavy snow will continue over the Sierras and Cascade Mountains and across the northern plains into the upper Midwest. For Sacramento, a chance of showers under partly cloudy skies, highs in the lower 50s. Las Vegas sees more sunshine with highs in the lower 60s. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And Becky Gaffney.
I feel terrible. I shouldn't have eaten that birthday cake today.
We do it every time. Neither of us should eat the birthday cake, but we always do.
People do ask, how do we do birthdays with that many kids?
We don't try. I think that's it. We just don't try. There's no big hullabaloo. We don't have parties per se. It's just whatever kind of happens the weekend surrounding their birthdays, we go with it.
Just a present or two centered around what they're interested in at that time. We make a cake, and then the tradition is all the kids have to stand behind the one whose birthday we're celebrating for the group photo.
Right, which they do begrudgingly at this point. At least the older kids do.
Think about it. If you're 19 and you have 7 siblings, and then for that many years you've had to stand for that many birthday photos.
It's a lot of standing, smiling, and singing off key. So basically, this is how it goes every single time. We get up to birthday season. I call it birthday season because we have 2 in March, 2 in April, 1 in May, 1 in June, 1 July, 1 August, 1 September, 1 October. Then birthday season is over. But basically, you get there, and at the beginning of this week, it was, oh, so, hey, what do you want for your birthday? Because, of course, she reminded me that it was birthday week, and that's when the search began.
So now we are the proud owners of 2 live rabbits and a rabbit hutch in the back of our house.
Cute little pink rabbit hutch with heart locks. It's so sweet. Isn't it cute, though, honey? The 2 little boy bunnies, and they're just so precious, and all the kids love them, and I'm very allergic to them, but we're going to ignore that for now.
They love them because it's one day into it. It's only one day into it.
Right. We haven't had to feed them and then, like, separate their poo from the bedding for garden fertilizer or anything yet. We'll see how it is tomorrow.
We looked up how long rabbits live. Our daughter, who just turned 10, should be 20 years old by the time she's due a new set of rabbits.
Right. So when the rabbits die, then she's allowed to start dating.
So to recap how we do the birthdays.
We don't try. Figure it out that week. Go from there. Feed them what they want. Make the cake that morning. Stand there and sing for the picture. The end.
888-688-WALT. The end. Yes. We have to work out something with them so that the end is more obvious to someone as slow as I am. I have a great website, Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. You can find out everything about James Parker, who makes Florida stories, and all of the other excitement that takes place here. Plus, I want to hear from you during the week. I have a Twitter account. Of course I do. By law, every talk show host is required to have a Twitter account. It's Walter Sterling. And then I have a Facebook account, Walter M. Sterling, where you can see a picture of my fourth grader and the daddy-daughter fourth grade dance that we attended recently. And every email I get gets answered, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. I love doing this show. I love being with you. And every single email I get gets answered. Now, I've been debating what to talk about next. It's always a challenge, but I keep avoiding talking about what I really need to talk about, which is this. I don't know. This is why I avoid it. Parosmia. P-A-R-O-S-M-I-A. Parosmia. This is one of the secret results of COVID that was never discussed. I had COVID for about a day. I tested positive for it 3 months ago. I had it for a day. It was like a mild cold, but I did test positive for it. Okay. La, la, la. It was over. And then 3 or 4 days later, I'm eating. And I'm eating something, and it just tastes awful. There's some terrible... I figure I'm eating spoiled food, rotten spoiled food. And then I take a drink of water, and it tastes like rotten, terrible water. And then I realize that every single thing I am eating tastes like garbage. Something had happened to my taste buds where they were extracting the worst form of whatever I was eating, the worst sensation that could possibly follow what I was eating, and that's what I was tasting. It got to the point where all I could eat was unadulterated fruit, an orange with nothing on it, or unadulterated meat, a hamburger patty with no cheese, no fat, no ketchup, nothing. And that's about it. That was 3.5 months ago. Well, it's called parosmia, P-A-R-O-S-M-I-A. A lot of people who have had COVID say, oh, you know, I've lost my sense of taste. Well, I wish I had lost my sense of taste. Instead, I have a new sense of taste. Everything tastes like garbage. But it gets weirder. If I see a photograph of an animal or a situation that has a notorious stench to it, all of a sudden I'm looking at this picture, and that's what I smell in very real terms. I smell the back of a horse. I look at a picture of the back of a horse. I smell the back of a horse. All right, so I go to an eye, ear, nose, and throat doctor. And he looks at me, he says, well, pretty much what we know about this is you're going to have to wait. That's what I mean. You're going to have to wait. It wears off at some point. Everybody's different. And what's even more interesting to me is that there is a Facebook group, of course, for parosmia COVID support group, a parosmia COVID support group, right? Everybody has different results. So, for example, I can eat fruit, no problem. There are other people for whom fruit tastes the most disgusting. There's no pattern to what tastes terrible, except one thing. I've noticed there's a consistent pattern with one thing, which is chocolate. Everybody who suffers from this hates chocolate. Chocolate to me is the worst tasting thing today. That and then bread. Any kind of sauce, cheese, this is horrible. Now, there's some good news. Because all I eat is fresh fruit and meat, and that's all I can eat, I've lost 30 pounds. In 3 months, I've lost 30 pounds. And I have diabetes. However, I've cut my insulin in half because all I'm eating is fresh fruit and meat. No bread, no carbohydrates, no candy, no sugar. Oh, my God. My morning number, ladies and gentlemen, is 72. Most mornings it's between 70 and 80. That's my morning blood sugar number. This is a big improvement. This is God doing for me what I could not do for myself. Gee, thanks a lot. Parosmia. I hope you never have experience with this. This is the worst thing. 888-688-WALT. That's my phone number. I am live. That's why I give my phone numbers. You and I can talk. 888-688-WALT. And everybody who calls in will have an opportunity to guess these themes, these television themes, in exchange for a prize of almost no value. But you'll be famous, and that's really what you've wanted your whole life, isn't it? That fame thing. Where are those themes? Oh, this is so much excitement. I made a mistake tonight. I have a great guy, Charles Van Zandt, who helps me produce the show, and he puts together the audio clips for them. And I sent them to him at 2 this afternoon to make up, and he can do it fast. And they sat in my outbox until 5 minutes after I went on the air. Oh, boy. Yeah, till about 5 minutes after I went on the air. 888-688-WALT. I'm Walter Sterling. Let's see. Where is this? I want you to hear this. This should all be very tight and all, but... You know, don't be crazy. These are three television themes. Which themes do these go to? WALT. My name is Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the working relationship NYPD members have with district attorneys. Now, I'm sure everyone has seen episodes of Law and Order where the detectives just have this comfy relationship with district attorneys where they'll just breeze into their office and sit down and everything is peaches and cream. Now, sometimes you will have good working relationships with different district attorneys, but sometimes it can be quite cantankerous. The DA itself sets the tone for his underlings. So in my time, boroughs like the Bronx and Brooklyn really were footloose and fancy free on certain crimes, whereas boroughs like Staten Island, Queens, and Manhattan DA's office took crime seriously and prosecuted things to the letter of the law. Now, some DAs are great. They'll work late, they're helpful, they'll take your call, and they'll make sure that a case is prosecuted correctly, while others will treat you like hired help. They'll leave you waiting in a waiting room for hours at a time, only to give you 30 seconds before motioning you out of their office. I've had district attorneys watch me on the witness stand getting pummeled for days by defense attorneys while barely raising an objection. DAs are like a box of chocolates, and you never know what you're going to get. But a funny story I had was when I was a young detective and I had a case at the Manhattan DA's office. My partner and I went down to speak to a district attorney who we'd never met before. So when we got there and we made ourselves comfortable in her office, we were sitting around drinking coffee and newspapers in her office. About an hour or so after waiting around, I started to get bored. Now, sitting on her desk was this contraption that looked like an antique telephone. The base looked like a rice cooker with thin tubes leading out to two circular plastic suction cups. So I said to my partner, "What is this?" I asked, looking at the machine. He goes, "What do you think it is?" I says, "I don't know." And I just started messing around with it. And I plugged the cord into the electrical outlet and I turned it on and it started to hum. My partner goes, "If you don't know what it is, just leave it alone," and went back to reading the paper. So I placed one suction cup to my ear and the other to my mouth. And I began speaking into the machine like it was a phone. And I'm goofing around pretending I'm calling the district attorney. So my partner starts laughing. He almost fell out of the chair. And I'm going, "Hello, Mrs. Johnson. This is Detective Ferrari, and I'd like to speak to you about the case." So now I look over to my partner, and now he's no longer laughing. And this time his mouth is hanging open. He's looking over my shoulder into the doorway. And all of a sudden I hear, "Detective, when you're done playing with my breast pump, then we can get around to talking about the case." So, I mean, that was a showstopper. We just put the breast pump down, and I apologized. And, you know, at the end of the day, she was great. She was a good sport about it, but she wasn't too happy that I was messing around with her breast pump. But again, I never had children, so I didn't know what the hell the thing is. So be sure to check out my new book, The NYPD's Flying Circus, Cops, Crime, and Chaos.
Well, here it is. All Portland Walmart stores is permanently closing late March. This is what happens when cities refuse to enforce the rule of law. It allows the mob to take over. Businesses can't operate in that environment, and people can't take it. All Portland, Oregon, Walmart stores are going to close in late March. Two Walmart locations in North Portland and Southeast Portland will close in March, Walmart announced Wednesday. There will be no more Walmart stores in Portland, Oregon, because they could not manage the thieves, the crooks, the criminals, the murders. There are three types of Walmarts. There's the Nirvana Walmart, of which there are very few. Those are the Walmarts where your feet don't stick to the floor. The shelves are stocked. You can see the manager at any time. You can spot the manager. And there, get ready, I'm going to tell you the truth, there are cash register lines with nobody in line. Cashiers waiting to help you and happy to see you. That's the Nirvana Walmart. Then there are random Walmarts, and these are very strange stores. Some Walmarts are located in buildings that were not built for Walmart, and therefore there's always a problem with line of sight and square footage. I go to a Walmart sometimes that I call a random Walmart, and it has a grocery section, but it has no meat. There's no refrigeration units for meat. Just didn't plan it right. And then there are the gangsta Walmarts. And the gangsta Walmarts used to be open 24 hours a day. Then a couple years ago, there was a murder. There was a shooting at midnight. And they said, "Well, you know, maybe we better shut this one at 11 p.m. Used to be 24 hours. Now it shuts at 11 p.m. That's a gangsta Walmart. Those are the three types. But it's tragic and sad and true that every Portland, Oregon Walmart store is going to permanently close in late March. That's amazing. It really is a tremendous defeat for the biggest retailer in America. Imagine them having to close their stores in a major city like Portland, Oregon. Unbelievable. Well, have you had fun, my Midnight Misfit? Neil Paul, Judy Anderson, Mary and June Riley, I love that name, D. Wells. I love this show. I enjoy being with you, and I hope you do too. You and I should stay in touch at all times. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. It will get answered. We're the only show live at this time, and we talk about the transition from the second shift to the third shift, late night to Monday morning. And the world's about to change as company after company realizes that people aren't going to be coming back to work. They're not. And you know who mostly doesn't want to come back to work, doesn't want to leave the home and go to the office? Women. Women executives overwhelmingly are the ones saying, no way. They don't want to leave the home and go back to work. It's the same reason for pay at the pump tanks. And I'll tell you why next week. Remember that the greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.
I'm Andrea, founder of a boutique.